Welcome to Significant Women. This is a podcast that's focused on bringing out the very best in women in all walks of life, in all seasons of life, and in all aspects of life. My name is Carol McLeod, and I hope that you'll join me every week for stirring conversation about what it means to truly be a woman of significance at this moment in history. You know, I'm discovering, and I hope that you will as well, that it's not as hard to live a significant life as you might have formerly imagined. Now, on the podcast, some weeks I interview women who are endeavoring with every fiber of their being to live a significant life amid the twists and turns of disappointment and ordinary life challenges. Other weeks on the podcast, I will be sharing with you from my heart and from the Bible, the secret to living a significant life. Now, in today's podcast, we're going to talk about stress. Stress is one of those invaders, unwelcome invaders, in a woman's life that can bully her and then deplete her supply of vital necessities in life. You know, some of those vital necessities that we cannot live without are joy and peace, and stress often extracts them from our lives. You know, I believe that the Bible has a deep well of truth that can help us manage our stress, even today in the 21st century. Are you ready? I hope that you have your Bible or smartphone where you can look up the scriptures. I do believe with my whole heart that it is possible to live a stress-free life when you follow the principles found in the eternal, never-changing, but always relevant Word of God. Let's get started. We are expected as women of the 21st century to spin a multitude of plates. A Barna study says that 72% of all American women feel overwhelmed by the S word. That would be stress. You know, when you spin plates frantically, something or someone might break or crack or be crushed into smithereens. However, when the plates that you're spinning are your children, your parents, work outside the home, work inside the home, church, friendships, and your weight, you just keep spinning and hoping for the best, don't you? Over the past 70 years, really since the end of World War II, women have been convinced that they can have it all. Women are encouraged to climb the corporate ladder, to run for public office, to earn advanced degrees, and at the same time, raise a healthy family, build a great marriage, and win Volunteer of the Year awards. While all of those endeavors are noble and even admirable, some of them are valuable. No one, male or female, can do it all at the same time. I love this quote that I discovered by Jill Briscoe. The secret to doing it all is not necessarily doing it all, but rather discovering which part of the all He has given us to do and doing all of that. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that isn't talked about very much. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 2, and it's a conversation going on between two men. Their names are Absalom and Ahithophel. And Absalom, King David's son, intentionally undermined his father's rule as king. Essentially, what happened is that Absalom set himself up as judge in Jerusalem and began to make promises of what he would be able to accomplish if he were to become the new monarch. And after driving King David out of Jerusalem, the desperate son began to make plans to pursue and attack David's forces. Are you still tracking with me? So far, we've got Absalom, King David, and now Ahithophel. Ahithophel gave Absalom this advice. Ahithophel had formerly been one of King David's chief advisors. And this is what he said to Absalom, King David's son. I would come upon him while he is weary and exhausted and terrify him so that all the people who are with him will flee. Then I will strike down the king alone. That's 2 Samuel 17:2. Now, you might think, Carol, what does this have to do with my life? Well, I'm getting to it. Like David, we all have an enemy who wants to take advantage of us. He wants us to be exhausted and weary every single day of our lives. The enemy knows that if he can keep us distracted with stress, that he can steal the abundant right out of our earthly lives. Stress is a robber. It's a stealer. It robs us of our joy. It dismantles our peace and denies us of our hope. Now, stress doesn't have the power to change tomorrow, but it sure can mess up today. So, Ahithophel had said, I would come upon him while he is weary. I looked up what this word meant in the ancient Hebrew, and weariness means exhaustion, to be faint, to wear out, or to be worn out, tired, sick, fatigued, exhausted, and out of patience. Hey, did I just describe you? Did I just describe some of you? That is the you that the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to be weary and exhausted, to be faint, to be worn out, to be sick and fatigued and exhausted and out of patience. Satan is conniving. He's deceptive and secretive, and he'll wear you out any way that he is able to do so. I believe that the enemy fights the hardest when God has something great in store for you, because the enemy knows if he can get you weary and exhausted, you might throw in the towel on God's plans for your life. Now, how does the enemy get a believer in Jesus Christ? How does he trick them? How does he deceive them into weariness and exhaustion? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because this is how he does it: through overspending and overeating, through talking too much and trying to control others, through bad decisions that impact your future. He tries to get you weary and exhausted by getting you to overcommit to the wrong things and undercommit to the right things. Now, let me tell you the truth here. The good news is this: the Lord wants you energized and peaceful and purposeful. And how does the Lord accomplish that in your life? How does the Lord accomplish the ability to get one of us, one of his own beloved children, to be energized and peaceful and purposeful? Well, we do that when we serve others and when we spend quality time in prayer. We become energized and peaceful and purposeful when we worship him 24/7, when we commit to the right things. Now, remember, the devil, your arch enemy, wants you worn out, run down, and run ragged. This topic is also referenced in the book of Daniel. Daniel was prophesying about days in the future. Many people believe he was actually prophesying about the end times. And this is what he said in Daniel 7:25. And he's talking about our enemy. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Isn't that scary? Satan is trying to wear down the saints of God with busyness and the tyranny of the urgent. Satan knows that if he can wear you down and have you in a constant state of weariness, that he's more likely to win battles in your life. You might say, well, Carol, I'm not going to lose. Well, you're not going to lose in life, because if you go God's way, he'll always lead you in triumph. But if you give in to weariness and exhaustion, if you allow the enemy to wear you down, you're not going to lose your eternal salvation, but you might lose your patience. You might lose your temper. You might lose perspective and peace of mind. You might lose your creativity and your daily disciplines. You might lose your self-control. So I've had to ask myself some hard questions over the years. When I was raising my kids, I would often ask myself a question like this. Is it really more urgent to sign my kids up for soccer, baseball, basketball, ballet, and piano than it is to place the Word of God in their hearts? It's a good question, isn't it? And now, today, in this season of my life, is it really more urgent to go shopping for my 78th pair of shoes than it is to pray for my family, for my pastor, and for the president? You know, I think that unfortunately, in the Western world, in these early days of the 21st century, we look at our busyness as an invisible badge of honor. We mistakenly think that more might make us better. But more is just what it says it is. It's more. It's not better. It's just more. When we wear busyness as a badge of honor, the mistake that we're making is that we're deriving our value from what we do rather than from who we are. Now, just like God has a perfect will for your life, and His will is an abundant life, His will is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's God's will for your life this side of eternity. Well, the enemy has a perfect will for your life as well. The enemy is unable to deny you of your eternal life. So what he endeavors to do is to rob you of your abundant life. And the devil is an expert in trickery, in lying, and in distraction. It's the only things he can do. But listen, so often I have declared over my life, the devil's not going to wear me down. I'm wearing him down. He doesn't have a chance in my life. Now, those are fighting words, that smack talk to the enemy. But you might think, but Carol, how do you do that? How do you wear the devil down? Well, these are some of the things that have worked for me in my very busy life. I have to choose well so that I don't become weary. I have to choose time with God rather than time on Facebook, social media, or on my phone. I have to be very mindful of speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs rather than complaining, spouting my opinions, and gossip and frustration. I have to remind myself daily to invest myself in truly significant and eternal things rather than in urgent demands. Listen, I've discovered in my life, and if it's true for me, it's true for you, we only need to make a few strategic choices to replace weariness with God's perfect peace. You know, if you can really get to the end of yourself, it's then that you will surrender your will, your calendar, and your minutes to God. Now, there's a conundrum here, because even when you're doing all the right things and none of the wrong things, there will still be days when you're weary. Believe me, I know. There are days when I'm weary of the battle, weary of responsibility, weary of certain challenges in life, weary of certain unescapable challenges in life. So let's leave King David for a minute and look at another Old Testament hero, a man by the name of Gideon. He was an extraordinary leader who delivered Israel from their enemy, the Midianites. Gideon actually heard the voice of God and had obeyed God's explicit instructions, leading Gideon to win one of the most compelling battles in all of biblical history. Gideon won this battle with God's power. Gideon and his band of 300 men had just routed an army. Are you ready for this? Of 120,000 men. It was 300 versus 120,000, and Gideon had won with only 300 soldiers. Now, immediately after this extraordinary victory, the Lord called Gideon's 300-man army to keep pursuing the remaining 15,000 soldiers and their leaders who were fleeing. So now the odds are a little bit better. They're still not good. 300 versus 15,000. And this is what Judges chapter 8, verse 4 records. Then Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. Oh man, I want those words, weary yet pursuing, written on a plaque in my office. If you find yourself in a place of weariness, never stop pursuing God's highest and best for you. If you find yourself in a place of weariness, never stop pursuing obedience to God's voice and His will and His plans. Never give up in times of weariness what you know that God has specifically called you to do. If Gideon and his men had given up because they were weary, they would have missed one of the greatest victories in all of Israel's history. I wonder what victories I have forfeited because I have given up due to weariness. Now, the final victory that Gideon and his men won ushered in 40 years of peace for Israel. I wonder what days of peace I have missed because I've allowed weariness to get the best of me. So what do you do? When you're weary, you focus on God. When you're weary, you listen for His voice. When you're weary, you continue to obey even when it's hard. And when you're weary, continue to pursue the call of God on your life. Now, if we read further in this story, we'll discover the recipe that will strengthen us when we're weary, but when we still need the strength to pursue. We're reading on in the story of Gideon, Judges chapter 8, verse 5. And Gideon said to the men of Succoth, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who are following me, for they're weary, and I'm pursuing Zebah and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." When Gideon was running on empty, he knew what he needed. He needed bread. You know what? I need bread too, but it's not carbs that I need. I need the bread of life when I am weary. And the Bible is the bread of life. I need the bread of life every day so that I'm not running on empty. My friend, let me tell you something. If you forget everything else I say today, get this. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you are just too busy. The Bible is a high power vitamin that will give you strength when life is intense and when you're weary. God's answer to weariness is a word that maybe you've heard before. It's called abiding. John 15:4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." You'll always go through life spent, worn out, run down, and weary unless you learn the joy of abiding in Christ. You see, strength comes from resting, not from more activities. If God needed to rest on the seventh day, I'm pretty sure that I need it as well. So let's look at this abide that we've just read in John 15:4. It means remaining in constant, unbroken fellowship with Christ. Let me say that again. Abide. Remaining in constant, unbroken fellowship with Christ. You have been invited by the voice of Jesus Himself to remain in constant, unbroken fellowship with Him. Now, you're not supposed to just visit Him once a week, but you're supposed to build a life around His presence. You're supposed to make His presence your true home, not just a place of respite or a place to take a vacation. His presence is a place to live, to dwell, and to never, ever leave. You know, when your permanent residence becomes the presence of Christ, you'll notice a difference in your life. When you allow Him to invite you in and you respond to the invitation, you'll notice a difference. When you allow the Father to whisper in your ear a plan for every day, for every hour, and for every moment, glorious fruit will be beautifully evident and deliciously apparent in your life. Now, another meaning of this word abide is to last or to endure. I like that one, don't you? You see, when you abide in Christ daily, when you fill yourself with the manna of His Word, when you refresh yourself with worship, you'll be the best version of you. You'll be the woman who is feeding her soul at the tree of life. Let's take just a little break from the heart of this podcast for just a minute or two so I can let you know about a resource that just might help you annihilate stress once and for all. My newest book that has recently come out is entitled Significant: Becoming a Woman of Unique Purpose, True Identity, and Irrepressible Hope. It was my honor to write this book, which is a biblical response to four of the main challenges that women face today. I did thorough research on both secular and Christian platforms to identify the four main issues that nearly all women face today. I discovered that those issues are identity, knowing who you are, purpose, knowing why you are, and then stress and loneliness. The Bible has powerful and practical answers to all four of those challenges in the life of a woman. If you or a friend of yours is facing one of these issues, you can purchase Significant at our website, which is carolmcleodministries.com. For our podcast listeners only, we're offering the book for $12 plus shipping. You can use the code PODCAST2020 to purchase the book for this special pricing. Now, let's get back to the podcast so that you can discover with me how to manage the most stressful situations in life. Let me read to you some more of the words of Jesus Himself as found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me. Here it is. It's an invitation again from Jesus, and it's addressed to you. Your name is on the envelope. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you my rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the Bible comes alive for me as I try to imagine the context and the setting of these words that were spoken by Jesus in his adult years on planet Earth. First of all, let me tell you what a yoke was. A yoke was a heavy wooden harness that fit over the shoulders of oxen. And this yoke was attached to a piece of equipment that the oxen were expected to pull. It was very important that the carpenter who fashioned the yoke made sure that it fit well and that there were no places where the yoke could rub against the shoulders or neck of the oxen and thereby cause painful sores that would be difficult to heal. So a carpenter in ancient times sanded all of the rough places out of the yoke until it was smooth, until the yoke had no splinters that might injure the beasts of burden. So the interesting thing to me is this, that phrase that we just read in Matthew 11, "For my yoke is easy," can also be translated this way, "My yoke fits well." Would you wonder about this phrase with me for just a minute? Would you try to imagine what the front of the family carpenter shop looked like that Jesus was in charge of prior to his years of ministry? I wonder if Jesus had a yoke over the top of the door of his carpenter shop on which the words, "My yokes fit well," were carved. I wonder if Jesus was known for smooth and well-fitting yokes that farmers could not resist. I wonder if his yokes were the talk of the town. If the farmer said, "Hey, if you want a yoke that fits well, go to Jesus. I've never been disappointed. His yokes, they don't hurt my oxen. They leave no splinters. I never have any blisters on my oxen when I buy a yoke that Jesus made. I wonder. The truth is that whatever God has called you to do should fit well as you walk through life. If you've committed to something that's causing painful sores in your life, you can be assured that Jesus has something different for you because his yoke always fits well. When you decide to stay engaged in undertakings that you've not consulted the Lord about, it's like a kitten trying to carry what was only meant for a beast of burden. A kitten's bones are fragile, and were never meant to carry hundreds of pounds of weight. While the bones of an oxen or a workhorse, they have been specifically designed to bear demanding loads. And God the Father created you to commit yourself to specific assignments during your tenure on planet Earth. So don't kill yourself in the process. Listen for his voice and ask him to give you the wisdom to decide which commitments are right for you and which commitments he'll give you the strength to carry through on, rather than just think about something before you commit to it. Pray about it. Take the time to pray about it. Okay, let's go back to David. As I read the Psalms, David seems to share my incompetence at all that life dishes out. Let's read in Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint or overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Although, my friend, I don't know what specifically overwhelms you, your staggering obstacles might look different than mine. The answer for that which overwhelms us is the same. It's hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. When you are overwhelmed, when you're close to fainting, the first thing that you should do is cry out to God. Listen, your default should not be eating chocolate or going shopping or yelling at your kids or becoming frustrated with your husband. But when we're overwhelmed, we need to cry out to God more than we need anything else at that moment. There is someone mightier and more powerful than I am who is well able to bring relief to my mountain of stress. After the psalmist cried out to the Lord, then he said, from the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint or overwhelmed. My friend, I can guarantee you this. When you throw yourself into God's comforting arms, it's then that peace and sweet relief will rush in to save you. If when you're frustrated and overwhelmed, you cave and drink another diet soda or eat another bag of chips or two or three or four, or throw your husband dagger eyes or ignore your mom's phone calls, or you book a mani-pedi, listen, all of those things are like trying to use a Band-Aid after open heart surgery. It's not going to help. It's not going to heal anything. But if you'll cry out to him, if you'll run to him, that's when the pain will leave and the peace will begin. And then David the psalmist said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, we all need somebody bigger than we are, someone mightier than our schedule is to lead us. We need the higher place. What is that higher place? Well, it's the place of worship. The psalmist said, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. When you're feeling overwhelmed, don't focus on what is causing the irritation or the annoyance. Turn your eyes away from your circumstances and set your gaze, your mind, on the only one who is able to help you, the rock that is higher than I. The Lord is your safe place. He'll protect you against the enemy forces of busyness, of stress, of difficult relationships, of health challenges, and false priorities. He is more than able. And then the psalmist said, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me abide. Remember our word abide? Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings. There is no safer, more peaceful place to be than to abide in God and with God. And when I linger in his presence and in the safety of his word, the overwhelming things of this earth grow strangely dim. His nearness overshadows everything that screeches my name, and I finally begin to live the life that I have dreamt about and long for. It's God's presence that miraculously enables me to face another day of details. His word powerfully shields and protects me from the rapid fire of life stresses. Prayer helps me to focus on the eternal and not on what has merely stirred up a tempest in my teapot. I want you to change your perspective about stress, about weariness, and the feeling of being overwhelmed. I think helping you to change your perspective on this one topic alone is one of the greatest gifts that I can give you. I want to remind you that today is the very best day of your life. There's no grander gift than the undeserved endowment of this present day. Today is a miracle, so splash in it. Fall in love with it. Fall in love with being alive today. As a significant woman created in the image of the Most High God and fashioned for unmatched greatness in the unshakable kingdom, I get to choose how much splendor I will squeeze out of today. I have to decide, will I slog through uncommon minutes and look dull-eyed and bored at all that I've been given? Or will I embrace the ordinary miracles that reveal their breathtaking loveliness in every minute of my life? I get to choose. Psalm 71:8 says, my mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. So I just want to encourage you today as we close to say with me, today I will make myself at home in the pleasure of this day. Today I will find the fingerprint of God in every moment. Today I will listen for his heartbeat and for the song of life that comes only from heaven. Today, I will connect myself to the present and be captivated by the gift of today. Today, I will abide in him. And today, I will live a fruitful life. Well, I hope that today's teaching really helped you get a handle on how to manage your stress levels. You know, I'd love to stay in touch with you. I'd actually like to be your friend. I'd like to be your friend on social media. On Facebook, you can find me as Carol McLeod, Bible teacher and author. And on both Instagram and Twitter, I'm Carol McLeod. And you know, maybe you'd like to sign up for my weekly blog. My weekly blog is about 1,000 words of encouragement for women every single week of the year. You can sign up for the weekly blog by visiting CarolMcLeodMinistries.com and signing up there. And also, you'll find on our website all kinds of free resources, teachings, videos, all kinds of things that will enlarge and strengthen your faith. And always, if you have a prayer request, I'd love to hear from you. I'm not a counselor, but I am an encourager. And so feel free to email me at carol@carolmcleodministries.com so I can personally encourage you in your walk of faith. Hey, just one more thing. Would you share this podcast with your friends? And how do you feel about leaving a review on all of our platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play? If you leave a review of the podcast, it really helps us tremendously. My friend, if you're listening today, let me just remind you of your significance to the kingdom of God. You are not overlooked. You are not forgotten, but you are His. It is in belonging to your Creator and to your Savior that you can absolutely find true and lasting significance. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Father, I pray for every woman who's listening today. Father, I pray that you would lessen her stress. Father, I pray that in the busyness of her life, she would run toward you, not away from you. Lord, teach us all the secret of abiding in you, of staying in your presence where there is always fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you for listening. You, my friend, are a significant woman indeed.